Bailey finally gets promoted, Meredith learns 5 things about Lexi, and George chips a tooth. All those topics and more in today's official Grey's Anatomy podcast, hosted by ABC.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the official Grey's Anatomy podcast. I'm your host, Cheryl, and in this week's podcast, we're once again joined by executive producers Shonda Rhimes and Betsy Beers. If you missed last week's podcast, we mixed it up a little bit and interviewed one of Grey's newest cast members, Brooke Smith. And coming up in a few weeks, we have an interview with actress Elizabeth Reeser, who plays Alex's love interest, Rebecca, a.k.a. Ava. But as we said, Shonda and Betsy are back after a week's break to rehash last night's episode called Physical Attraction, Chemical Reaction. They also have a few more tips for the holidays. This week, how to fluff your fake Christmas tree.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Betsy.
I'm Shonda.
And this is Grey's Anatomy.
It's Grey's Anatomy.
We're just talking about the fact before we started this exalted podcast about the fact that it's November is a special month around here at Grey's Anatomy. It's a
month, special month in all of TV.
I think it is because we were just describing the fact that you're at a point in your schedule where you haven't quite gotten through
halfway.
Half of it, but you can sort of, you can see Christmas in sight, but you're getting kind of excited about the holidays, but you still have to work. And I think that's probably true with a lot of businesses, actually.
I think it's probably true with almost everybody. My sister feels that way.
That you kind of get to the beginning of November and you think, I should be eating turkey and passing out and buying wrapping paper.
And wrapping paper.
And putting up your fake tree.
And putting up my beautiful fake tree from the QVC.
Into the QVC fake tree.
I went online the other day just to check for you people, and it's still there. You can still buy it.
See, and now the scary thing is the
it
power.
It comes with the lights already on it.
Okay, see, that's just freaky and weird, which means you really don't have to do anything.
You have to plug it in and you have to fluff it.
Do you have to fluff
it? You have to fluff the tree.
How do you fluff a tree?
You have to See, now you're mocking me. But you have to spend a lot of time.
Oh, no, dear reader. No mockery.
Make sure all the branches are
out. Do you use a comb or do you use your hands?
You use your hands. It takes a long time to make your tree look perfect.
It does.
When it comes out of the box, it's not going to look that good. You're going to be upset. You're going to be like, that's Shonda. She lied to me. But once you fluff the tree, it'll be spectacular.
So take your flat-ass tree. Get it out of the box.
Oh, my God. Second career.
Oh, my God. Tree fluffer.
Trees for the QVC.
That's actually you could. Maybe we should do like a line of your own trees with special designs.
Grey's
Anatomy trees. We could have a little model.
Let's get
Doc,
on that.
Doc under the tree. Poor dead Doc. Because remember that when we did that whole episode?
When Doc laid under the tree.
Dale and they're all lying on his chin. They're looking up and it's really great. We could do that. That'd be good.
We could.
Now, wait a second. Just to recap for our home audience here. When do you put up the real tree as opposed to the fake tree?
I put up the fake tree the day after Halloween so I might enjoy it for the longest possible time. The day after Thanksgiving is when I start trying to put up the real tree. But in Los Angeles, no matter how many times I drive around and desperately try to find a tree lot that is open the day after Thanksgiving, you cannot find one. They don't open until December 1st, which I find rude. But if you drive a little bit of ways, maybe go to Orange County, you can find yourself a tree.
Okay, what do you do about the dead needle issue? Do you replace the tree like December 15th? Or how do you work that?
No, you take very good care of your tree and
okay.
It lasts till Christmas.
Given that I'm the woman who usually, my tree looks a bit like Charlie Brown's Christmas, where we go out like a week before Christmas and we go, oh, holy crap, we didn't get a tree.
And you buy a scrawny tree.
We try to buy a good tree, but the fact is they're always kind of like half dead.
Oh.
So they kind of die early. So I probably should be looking into the QVC thing. But I like the smell of evergreens in the house and all that.
Well, then you can buy yourself a little bit of greenery and use it for decorating.
That's
and then
you'll have the mantle thing
without the dead tree.
Okay, now this is just an indicator for you guys how it's the beginning of November and we're already obsessing about this stuff, which means clearly our mind is not as much on its work as it should be, and we're here to talk to you about a great episode, so we probably should be focusing on that instead of trees. Right?
Okay, focus.
Okay, actually, we're here to talk about episode 407.
Physical Attraction, Chemical Reaction.
Which is really about that chemical reaction you have with people and things that
and
you just
chemistry.
Can't avoid. And chemistry.
And chemistry.
Technically chemistry.
More than technically.
Actually,
yeah.
Exactly and literally.
Exactly and literally chemistry. This episode was written by our favorite married writing team, our only married writing team, Tony and Joan.
Yes, the song stylings of Tony and Joan, our only married writing team, which I don't know what that says. Well, they're not that. How many married writing teams do you think there are?
12.
You think maybe 12 in all of Hollywood?
In all of Hollywood, there are 12.
I bet they all have fake trees.
And we have one, and they're Tony and Joan.
And they're awesome.
Yes.
And they each have different song styling skills.
Yes.
So,
and they have written this.
Which is a wonderful episode that we loved, and we hope you did too. I think
my absolute favorite thing about this episode was the George and Izzy attempts to have sex.
Yeah.
I had very strong feelings about this, and we just loved it. Like I love the moment when George says, name any fantasy, and I'll do it, and you cut, and it's after whatever that fantasy is. And George just chipped a tooth, and they both look traumatized, and Izzy's sort of rocking a little bit like, you know,
Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
It's a little bit like Where's Josh? She's sitting in the corner holding her knees rocking. It's pretty good.
And you have no idea what it is they engaged in or what it is they did. And
you know what's great? Everybody has their own theory as to what it is.
Well, you always have your own theory until George says, I think I chipped it too.
I know.
And then everything just spins out of control. Because what the heck could they have been doing? That
kind of blows your theory.
It's all the most disturbing things come out for you. And then there's the box of fun.
The box of fun, which is awesome.
Which I love as well, because you don't ever see what's inside
that
box
of
fun. But you know that there's something in there that's highly disturbing, because George is a little freaked out by the box of fun.
Or, you know, maybe what's disturbing is it's not disturbing that's in the box of fun. There could be that, too.
Maybe it's just Pop-Tarts. Hello Kitty dolls or something.
Exactly. You never really know. So
Pop-Tarts. That's funny.
Now, Derek, what's going on with Derek and Richard? What's the deal there?
Derek and the Chief are dating a little bit.
They kind of are,
right?
They kind
of are dating. I mean, I feel like they're each other's replacement for having a personal life right now. And I love the fact that there's this, you know, he's got this trailer next to Derek's, which is hysterically funny to me. He's got this trailer next to Derek's. They have this sort of interesting relationship of movies. How awesome is the Chief's imitation?
Incredibly pathetic imitation of...
It's
the Godfather.
I love it, though.
It's pretty great.
It's really, really
I'm
charming.
Hoping that maybe he'll do more imitations in the future.
I think we're going to try to
Lawrence of Arabia. You know, some the French Connection. Some nice strange
the
things.
French, we could right, things that we can't.
Jaws.
Yeah. Jaws. We're going to need a bigger boat.
We need a big boat.
Yeah.
I think we could definitely...
Look for that in an episode coming up.
Because the other thing is, it's just Jim Pickens. What's great about Jim Pickens as an actor and the Chief is, honestly, you can give him anything to
do. He can do anything.
He can do anything. He also just, by the way, knows how to rope cattle.
Yes.
Which is the strangest thing ever.
Yes. Side note for you Jim Pickens fans, which I'm sure is all of
rodeo
you.
Rodeo star.
He's a rodeo star. The man is a cowboy. Literally a cowboy. It's kind of awesome.
Puts on special shirts and rides things.
We're filming an incredibly special episode of Grey's Anatomy where I can't tell you what's happening, but there's like a lot of really interesting stuff happening. And in between takes, I went out and I saw Jim Pickens, and in between takes, he's literally getting up, you know, from his little job in his scrubs, covered in blood, and roping.
Is he roping grips? What's he roping?
He's just roping. He has a little practice thing that he ropes that he brings with him everywhere.
That's awesome.
Just to stay on his game.
God, I sort of pictured him roping makeup and hair and...
I'm sure he would.
A trailer.
But I think that there might be lawsuits.
That might be a problem. That might be considered roping harassment. Which, by the way, we don't endorse at ABC Studios
ABC.
No roping harassment. No, because Jim's a good guy.
Exactly. But my point is, in real life, the man can rope a animal of some kind. I don't really know what one ropes.
I think when cattle.
Yes.
Cattle.
In real life, the man can rope a cattle. But the Chief himself is not so self-sufficient.
No, which is great. I mean, he really can't. But he's also, in this great way, really looking out for Derek.
He's being his emotional support, and Derek is doing his laundry in return. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't either, because I think, honestly, one of the things that we deal with a lot in this show is that your friends are incredibly important to you, and there's important relationships very often as your romantic relationships, because as we've seen on Grey's Anatomy, sometimes the relationships romantically come and go.
And all you have are your friends.
All you have is your friends. And it's no different for the Chief and Derek, who've been through a lot together.
Yes,
you know, the Chief keeps trying to make decisions that will benefit the hospital and are the right thing to do for business. And he always sort of invariably comes down on the side of the personal, which I really love and respect about him.
Yeah.
No matter how hard he tries to be sort of a hard-nosed business guy.
He's really just everybody's dad.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly right. I also really love where the relationship with Meredith and Lexi is going here.
I'm very intrigued by Meredith and Lexi. I think there's a really interesting dynamic here of Lexi sort of I feel like she's slowly falling apart.
Yeah, I think little by little by little.
And she clearly needs a big sister, don't you guys think? I think she clearly does. And Meredith clearly does not want to be a big sister because she's not ready yet. And I think she's trying not to care. She's really trying not to care. But the reality of it is this is her one true, healthy, normal, sane family connection that she's got. And I think we're going to see her try to get to a place in which she can be a sister.
Absolutely. And also, I think what's really great to see is very often... within the context of Seattle Grace, everybody, they make your friends your family. You know, you figure out substitute family. It's really refreshing to see the connective bond starting to attract each other like real family, which she's starting to come to terms with the fact that, I agree with you, I think Lexi's a tad on edge. Like,
well, what I love is that, I mean, in terms of theme, Meredith and Lexi have no chemistry. Like,
exactly.
They have no chemistry. They may be bonded by blood, but they have no chemistry. And Lexi's desperately sort of searching for it, and Meredith's really pushing it away. But in the end, Lexi, you know, when Lexi says that wonderful thing about the five things about herself, which I love, because they're all really odd things. My favorite is that she can draw anything she wants on an Etch-A-Sketch.
Which is great. Which, by the way, is hard to do.
Well, in case you think that we're lying, we have somebody in our office, Stacey McKee, one of our writers, who can literally draw anything you want on an Etch-A-Sketch.
It's true.
We actually have taken pictures of her Etch-A-Sketch art.
It's pretty impressive. But we have to also sidebar and say Stacey McKee's an amazing artist.
Yes,
so she is. She figured out how to make an Etch-A-Sketch bend to her will, which is no mean feat.
Exactly.
But so could Lexi.
So could Lexi. And in telling Meredith these five things, it was sort of her way of opening up to Meredith and sort of saying that there are, basically saying there are other things about me that you might want to get to know as well. And I just like that moment a lot.
Now, you know, the two people also who do not have chemistry are Christina and Erica Hahn, which I think is...
Yes, there's no chemistry.
As much
there.
As Christina would love to have chemistry with Erica Hahn, it doesn't really look
Christina's
like there's much going on.
Christina's desperate to have chemistry with Erica Hahn.
She's scrabbling as hard as she can with her little claw hands to get some chemistry with Erica Hahn, and Erica's not going for it.
But so is Sloane. That's what
that,
I think
which
is
great.
Is that in his own way, so is Sloane. And what I love is that both Christina and Sloane feel a chemistry with Erica Hahn that she clearly does not feel for them.
Or she's in such profound denial
exactly.
for that she can't find it.
Like, they're just watching her like she's just magic. Like, you know, she's just a little glowing stick of light. And she just doesn't get it.
It's, I think it's also with her the incredible calm, assured, non-emotionality that she does her job with. I mean, it's like Christina wishes on a great day.
Yes.
She didn't take things as personally because Erica just keeps on driving.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so different than Burke in the way that she approaches the
Absolutely.
Cardiothoracic, which is amazing, too. It's a totally
Absolutely.
Different sort of approach to heart surgery.
Well, also just Christina's used to being...
Phone!
Christina's used to being the girl at the head of the class. And yet she's not at the head of the class here. Like, no matter what she does, Erica Hahn's not interested in her. And I think it's slowly driving Christina mad.
I think absolutely the case.
Which I love.
Absolutely the case. And that's going to be something really fun to watch. And then there's this ongoing relationship between Bailey and Callie. That
Which, to me, is about Bailey having chemistry with the entire hospital.
And Callie not feeling it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because, you know, Callie says, cover for me, be you. And poor Callie, you know, she's been through a lot. And she's found, you know, she's finally sort of hit upon the thing that makes her feel the happiest, which is she can do surgery all day and break bones. And I love the scene where you come in and she's dancing and playing that great rap song. And she's just happy and having a great time. And for Bailey... Bailey can do Callie's job a lot easier than Callie can do it because Bailey understands the rhythms of the hospital.
Right.
It comes a little bit more naturally to her.
Mm-hmm.
And when the chief hands her the job in the end and basically says, I should have given it to you in the first place, one of my favorite moments in the world is Bailey saying, it's about time you noticed. And then she starts crying, which we just thought was great.
Yeah.
She's wonderful at it.
It's also cool to see Bailey want something that much.
You realize how much she's wanted and how much it hurt her to not have it. That's what I love. That in getting it, you finally realize how much she wanted it so desperately and how in pain she's been this whole time and thus how hard it's been for her to be number two.
I think it's all sort of, it's what you were saying before, which is it's great to actually see all these different characters at this weird point. I mean, Meredith and Derek, too.
Yeah, they're...
Who I feel like...
Are having little pockets of intimacy. I was a little bit obsessed with the pockets of intimacy of the two of them sort of getting together in the trailer and sort of having these little moments together, which was lovely and sort of says everything you need to know about what their relationship is right now, which is that they have these moments where they're together and everything's great, but in the outside world, they're not really together.
Right.
And things are not... They have chemistry in the bedroom right now, but they don't really have chemistry outside of it. Whereas George and Izzy...
severely don't seem
severely
to have
don't.
The chemistry in the bedroom.
And I think it's interesting that, you know, they've done this thing. They've said, you know, I love you. He's left his wife. They've gone through this entire thing, and now they finally get into bed, and it's not anything at all like they thought it was going to be. And to me, it's not that, you know, they're just bad in bed. It's that, because, you know, they were quite happy with their other respective people when they were with them. It feels to me like all the stuff that's happened, all the baggage that's happened has sort of ruined the thing that they've been anticipating for so long.
Exactly. And then also when it's so much about anticipation and not about reality, it's
And there's so much
totally
pressure
different.
For it to be incredibly amazing because he left his wife.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
She broke up a marriage. It better be the greatest sex ever, and it's clearly not. Exactly. And I love that. I just think it's heartbreaking at the end when they're both saying how great it was, and then he says you're lying, and she says so are you, and they just lie there. It's just heartbreaking. I feel for them.
Not an upper. It's not an upper for their relationship,
I'd
say. Not
an upper for their relationship. And then my other favorite moment is just the idea that Alex sort of chooses Meredith over Lexi when Meredith puts her foot down, which I think goes to what we were saying before about you make your friends your family. And while Alex and Meredith have never appeared to be, you know, they don't have, you know, they don't hold each other's hand or whisper their pain in closets, they are in a lot of ways the same people. And he completely understands why why she is holding this line.
Absolutely.
But I also think that at the end of the episode, when Alex sees what Lexi is dealing with, he takes Lexi home and he sees Thatcher and he sees what she's dealing with. From that moment on, Alex kind of has no choice but to protect Lexi.
Yeah.
Because that's who he is.
And he's now been, in a weird way, initiated into her family.
Yeah.
Whether she likes it or not.
He's seen a piece of her that nobody else has seen.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Now, you know, it's like next week's episode, I have to say, is one of my favorite, like, all-time episodes in a lot of ways. I mean, there have been a couple this season I just think are just so wonderful. This is a little bit your past coming back to haunt you, Tad.
Yeah.
It's the best way to put
it. We were really proud of this episode.
This episode's great.
Coming. We were really proud of the theme, and we were really proud of how we managed to tell the stories, and we were really proud of the stories that we chose to tell. And I think that it's another episode written by Mark Wilding, and it's very, very funny.
Took the boys camping last year.
He took the boys camping. He also wrote 17 Seconds.
He did.
Which was our season 2 episode in which Izzy decides to steal Denny's heart.
Which is amazing. But I think just to preview it.
He wrote Really Old Guy.
Oh, he wrote Really Old Guy. That's right. So I think just to preview it, I think you're going to see a side of Bailey
next week. You're going to see the
softer
side of Bailey.
That you have never seen.
Yeah.
And I think it's really worth it because I just chuckle thinking about it. So we're hoping you tune in next week.
Please do.
And I'm Betsy.
I'm Shonda.
This is Grey's Anatomy.
That's it for this week. Join us again next week for more insight on all things Grey's. Remember, Thursdays are Ugly and Grey. Ugly Betty at 8, Grey's Anatomy at 9, only on ABC. Forever Young airs Thursday, November 15th at 9 p.m. on ABC and is available the next day at abc.com.